do that.
Welcome, everybody, to the Education Finance Committee. We are going to start. We won't be taking any definitive votes today. What we'll be doing is hearing each of the bills with just a few minutes allotted to each bill and then laying it over for possible inclusion in our omnibus bill. And that's generally the way it's done so that we can balance all the numbers before we go to the Ways and Means and onto the floor. So with that, we will start with Representative Peterson, House File 3435. And members, you have all of these in your file. So just pull them out as we go. They should be in the order that we take them up. Where are you? Representative Peterson, I will move House File 3435 before the committee for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and committee members and members of the audience. I'm here today requesting a fund transfer for the Tyler School District, which is in Lincoln County and southeast part of the county. And I have two members of the school board here today, and let them introduce themselves. What we're asking for is School District 409, this is on the bill summary that Mr. Strum has prepared, is to transfer up to $451,000 from its reserve capital account in the undesignated general fund to its debt service fund. And the members of the board can describe why that's needed. And today we have Scott Peterson and Craig Norgaard to briefly describe why they need this.
Welcome, gentlemen. If you could hold your comments to 5 minutes, and then we may have a question or two of you. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'm Craig Norgaard, representing the Tyler School Board.
Welcome, Mr. Norgaard.
What we're asking for is to set aside that $451,000 and to take care of the debt that we owe. We owe a bond of $575,000. But we can't pay it until 2011 or 2012. So we'd like to set that money up in an escrow account, and it would just take care of the debts to our taxpayers. And that by doing this, we would also be able to go into our consolidation plan equal, with no other districts having any debt. We're the only district that has debt, and we're totally responsible for our debt.
I recall now you were consolidating with Ruthton and Russell.
We're in the progress of trying to accomplish that.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. And why don't you just introduce yourself and go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Committee members, my name is Scott Peterson. I also represent the Tyler School District. To reiterate a little bit about what Mr. Norgaard stated, we have just, within the last 3 years, refinanced our bonds, our construction bonds from previous years, to lower our debt service, and that's the reason why we cannot pay off those bonds prior to the years that we've asked for, 6 to 7 years. That's why we feel it's our responsibility to our school district to set that money aside to service that debt when its earliest possible time is.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Are there questions from members of the committee on this bill? Since you're transferring from your reserve capital account, do you have no needs in the area of maintenance or anything like that that would normally be using money from your capital account? Does this deplete your capital account?
It lowers our capital account, but based on what we've done in the last couple of years, we think there's adequate monies to take care of our needs.
Okay.
And we're also requesting up to $451,000 if it looks like we need less, we'll set aside less.
All right. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Chair Sikora. To any one of you from Tyler, is it likely that the question of consolidation will pass?
We think so.
Mr. Norgaard. All right. Well, that's the best you can do with a referendum, isn't it? Just hope.
Hope and
guess as well as possible. Are there any further questions? When is your referendum, by the way?
It is April 11th.
Oh. Wow, coming right up. So at this point, you probably have some idea of the public sentiment.
We do.
Representative Hyde Gerken?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is what I referred to before. We used to have consolidation monies, and that pool is drying up, but we didn't have the consolidation money play out far enough where we get into the process of closing buildings and everything else. That's been a problem we talked about with Minnewaska, but I know where you're at, Representative Peterson. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Seeing no further questions, gentlemen, your bill will be laid over for possible inclusion, and thank you for making the trip in here.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
It's a long ways.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee.
All right. The next one is, we are going to change the order just a spec. Representative Abrams has a bill up in another committee, and so we're going to let Representative Abrams go ahead at the moment. And that is House File 3698. So, folks, we're not going in order as planned. You'll have to look for this one. It's under the green cover in your folders, and it's House File 3698. Representative Abrams, I will move your bill before the committee for possible inclusion.
And there's the A1 amendment, Madam Chair.
All right. Would you like to discuss? I will move the A1 amendment. Do you wish to discuss it?
It just changes the number, and I will discuss the bill with the number changing.
All right. Members, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment is adopted. Representative Abrams.
Madam Chair, House File 3698, as amended, will allow the Hopkins School District, Independent School District Number 270, to transfer $300,000 from the Community Education Fund into the Unrestricted General Fund. As many of you know, the Hopkins School District finds itself in the rather embarrassing situation of being in statutory operating debt. I'm certainly not here to discuss how they found themselves there or why they found themselves there. They're there. As part of the recovery plan, the administration and school board came to the legislative delegation, and as a matter of fact, their first request was for $1,150,000 worth of fund transfers, including $1 million from the debt redemption fund. I would not carry that bill simply because that's nothing more than a levy. The compromise which I reached with the Hopkins School Board, and which is before you today, is $300,000 from the Community Education Fund. As the other testifiers will tell you, that fund currently has in excess of $700,000 in it, and according to the people who are in the best position to know, they do not have to use the entire $700,000 in reserve for ongoing programs. Madam Chair and members, sometimes some of the best legislative discussions occur in parking garages. And in my case, I had read bill introductions and saw that Representative Greiling had a bill in dealing with a fund transfer, and I said, I'm certainly not going to let Roseville get something that Hopkins can't get. And I found out from Representative Greiling that she put the bill in because she was told that I was going to carry a bill for Hopkins, and she was going to let Hopkins get something that Roseville wouldn't get. So I guess my plea to you today is that I am certainly not an expert for these fund transfers. Mr. Strom has prepared a very good memorandum as to fund transfers that have been allowed in recent years. I would ask that the Hopkins School District be given the same accommodation or lack of accommodation as other school districts have in the past. And we certainly have additional testifiers here who can give you a little bit more flavor. John Troop, who is the acting business manager of the school district, is here, and the community ed director is here as well.
Katie
Lee, yeah. So why don't we hear from them briefly?
Go ahead. I have your name, Katie, but I do not have
John Pope.
Okay. Would you like to go ahead, Mr. Pope?
Yes, I would. What the district is trying to accomplish with this transfer is close the gap on the reductions that we couldn't make for 0506, because when we realized that we were in statutory operating debt and received the audit results in November of 2005, the district was staffed up for their current school year of 0506. So what we've had to do is look at a lot of one-time revenue transfers to close the gap for 0506. We had overspent in fiscal year 5 by approximately $3 million, and we had anticipated our energy costs increasing by about $1 million for the year. So we had a $4 million gap in 0506, half of which was taken care of by the 4% increase in state aid that we received for 0506, but we still had about a $2 million gap. As Representative Abrams had mentioned, we had hoped to maybe close some of that gap, half of it, with the debt service fund transfer that he referred to, decided to pull that off the table. There's a number of one-time revenue adjustments that we made that I would go through with you if you want to hear them, but this $300,000 would represent about 15% of that remaining $2 million gap that we're trying to close for 0506. The board did pass a budget for fiscal year 6-7 on March 2. That will get us below the statutory operating debt line as of the end of 06-07. So we are working on our plan. The plan that we are working on has been submitted and approved by the state by January 31st. So I would maybe turn it over to Katie Lee, if I could, for just a few comments.
All right, Ms. Lee. You are the community ed director, as I understand it.
Yes, Madam Chair. Although community education at the end of 04-05 fiscal year had a fund balance over $700,000, about $350,000 of that fund balance are committed dollars and spent for 05-06. And so I felt that allocating $300,000 out of that fund balance would leave me with about $100,000 in reserve in a $7.5 million budget in community education. So it's leaving us a little skim, but we felt we could accommodate this one-time transfer out of community education. Any questions for us?
Representative Hyde Griffin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And John, you can answer this question. I'm still looking for a catcher for my softball team this summer. Are you available? John used to catch softball for me years ago already, and we played some tournaments.
Charlie Stein.
Fast pitch softball from Glenwood, so it's, but they've had some very good teams. But one of my question for you, John, is I realize that you're new on the scene, but I've got 13 school districts, and one was Minnewaska, and among others. I went through all of the school boards, all 13, and each one has a different scenario at play. I have the most affluent district of my 13 districts is Melrose, and they're an SOD. And I've sat with the superintendent on repeated occasions since then. I know that you weren't there when some of the cards were played, but what caused the problem to happen in an affluent district like Hopkins to be an SOD?
Well,
in my
remarks that I had prepared, there's an extensive list of factors that I think contributed to the statutory operating debt problem in Hopkins. We did overspend, as I stated earlier, by about $3 million. The bulk of that over expenditure occurred in special education and transportation. And I think if we all realize those kind of over expenditures can occur without the district having a lot of control over them. For example, if a student comes in with very special needs, or we need to place a student, for instance, in an institute in Wisconsin, and they're a resident of our district, and we get a number of those kind of students that happen during the year, our expenditures could go up significantly during that year, and we won't receive the reimbursement for that till 2 years later. So that was part of the issue there. Long-range financial projections in the school district, from what I've seen, weren't done as well as they could have been done to let people know where the district was heading in. We did a board workshop on January 19th where I introduced the long-range financial planning model that I use at Minnewaska, and also would like to use it at Hopkins. And I think the board there is very well aware at Hopkins that they need to use that. They need to look at that on an ongoing basis as financial factors change so that they know where they are heading and they can make appropriate adjustments in a more timely fashion if needed.
Representative Abrams.
I would like to add my perspective to the question, which is a good one. This was not a one-year problem, Representative Heidkirch. I think that the problem goes back to at least the 2003-04 school year, when the school board thought that they had passed a budget that would leave an $800,000 fund balance, but in fact the fund balance was a negative $1.2 million. Neither the auditor nor management at the school district nor any school board member focused on that $2 million variance. So the school district wasn't in statutory operating debt, but embedded in the school district was a spending level that couldn't be sustained regardless of what happened at the state, and nobody pointed it out. You know, you can assign blame on a whole lot of folks, but I don't think that is why we're here. We're here to try to solve the problem.
Any further questions? All right, hearing none, Representative Abrams, your bill will be laid over, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Both of you for being here. All right. We'll go back now to the original order. Representative Hawes, are you here? All right, Representative Hawes is not here yet. Do you wish to go forward without him?
I'm sorry. I'm not very visible.
I looked over there for you and didn't see you. Okay.
I do now have a complex, though, that everybody can see.
And then somebody told me you had another bill up. So. Okay.
I do have things going on.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee, for hearing House File number 2003. And
Madam Chair, would you like me to move that?
Please.
I'll move House File 2003 to be before the K-12 Finance Committee for possible inclusion in the fund transfers part of our bill.
Representative Hawes.
Thank you, Representative Pearson. I do have an oral amendment to put this bill in the shape that I would like it heard. Underline 1.8, I would like 2005 changed to 2006. And underline 1.9, I would like 800,000. Change to 600,000. I do have an expert witness here today, the executive director of business services from School District 742 at St. Cloud School District. I will allow him to introduce himself and give testimony if that is appropriate for the chair and the committee.
Madam Chair, I'll move those oral amendments.
All right. Any questions about the amendment? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Amendment is adopted. All right. Would you like to give us the reasoning for your request?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Kevin Genishaski, Executive Director of Business Services, St. Cloud School District. The reasoning for the request, and the request is from the debt service fund balance to the reserve for operating capital. As some of the districts, the previous one had stated, we haven't been in SOD, but we have made dramatic cuts over the past 4 years. We've reduced our budget $17 million over the past 4 years. Within both the general fund and the operating capital funds. We also had a referendum, operating referendum, that we asked our voters. We had a five-part question. The one that didn't pass was the technology. It failed by 47 votes, so it was close, but it was the one that wasn't passed. So we are short in our capital reserves. Along with that, this transfer would help to do one-time expenditures such as technology, future land purchases, those types of things. It's not an ongoing expense that we would be looking at to use this money for. A little bit about St. Cloud, we haven't had a bond referendum since 1990, so the debt that this buildup from the debt service fund has come from is over the past 17 years. We actually only have 4 more years of payments on the bond. Another fact of St. Cloud, we don't get any equalization, debt service equalization aid, so it is actually all local levy dollars. There aren't any state equalization aid that goes into the referendums for our bond debt service.
All right. Are there any questions of Representative Hawes or the witness? Hearing none. Thank you very much. This will be laid over and considered for the omnibus bill. Thank you. All right. Moving on. Representative Hosh. And we're looking at, we've got two of them coming up here, right? We're looking at 3834. We have three from Representative Hosh coming up here. Can we take them in the order they're listed, please? So we'll start with 3834, and I would move 3834 before the committee for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Representative Hosh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if I may, I would like to offer a couple oral amendments to get them into the shape that I'd like, due to the result of the Senate hearings that we had this morning. So this is going to be your the Senate version. On line 1.8, if we can change $150,000 to $250,000. And on line 1.9, general fund should be stricken and replaced with capital operating account.
All right. On line 1.8, the number 150 goes to 250. On line 1.9, instead of the general fund, they're putting it into the capital operating account. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Amendment is adopted. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I greatly appreciate the opportunity to be before you with the three bills affecting the Cory School District. I'm not going to go too much in detail with this because I have an expert next to me who knows much more than I do. And last year did not have the opportunity to be before the committee when I testified, so I'd like to give him the opportunity to inform the committee on why we are here for this request. Thank you.
Go ahead. Sir, is it Mr. Staska?
Yes, it is. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you for being here, sir. Go ahead.
As you've heard in the previous bills and testimony, the Recorded District is not much different in terms of our needs. In this case, our request is to transfer $250,000 from our debt redemption fund into capital operating. Our situation is a little bit unique in this regard in that we have been before the voters three separate times on bond issues and building projects, and we've been to the voters twice in regard to general operating funds. All five of those issues have been defeated. The last one that we ran as an operating referendum last November was designed to deal with the deferred maintenance type issues that we're hoping to accomplish in this bill. Our request is really to deal with capital and deferred maintenance issues that the district has not been able to implement. The primary project that we would use with the funds to accomplish would be roof repairs on our buildings, something that we essentially believe we need to do, but we don't have the funds to do that on a normal basis. And so we're asking for the transfer so that we can do roof repairs and deferred maintenance issues.
Representative Hosh, did you wish to add something to that?
Yes, Madam Chair. I would just like to confirm the needs of the Recorded School District. Back in 1999, when my real job was a roofer, I put roofs on the Recorded School District buildings, and I can attest to the need for repair.
Back when you had a good job, Representative.
That's good.
All right, are there questions of Representative Hosh or Mr. Staska? May I just ask why you went from 150 to 250? Did the price of the roof increase, or did you find more money? In your debt redemption fund than you expected?
Our debt redemption fund has increased to $296,000, and so we would be moving to the $250,000. That actually accomplishes more of our roofing projects than we had anticipated a year ago. A year ago, we had also asked for the transfer to be in general fund as opposed to specifically for deferred maintenance issues.
All right. Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's the question I had, actually. According to the information we have, it's you're asking for the general fund, but you're saying it's going to the capital fund?
Capital operating account.
If I could, Madam Chair.
Representative Demmer.
Does this take care of your whole roof issue?
It does not.
Mr. Staska.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It does not take care of all of our roof issues.
Madam Chair.
Representative Demmer.
This is a question I've asked the last 3 years I've been here when these things come up. What are you going to do next year? This is one-time funds, and what's the plan for next year when these funds are gone?
Mr. Staska.
Madam Chair and representatives, one of the benefits to us of the legislative action of last summer is that you did increase deferred maintenance dollars, and they are available beginning next year. That coupled with our normal load on maintenance and capital operating should be allow us to take care of the future needs. But this will take care of a large portion of it, but we will have some small portions remaining.
Okay, thanks.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Am I gonna make it?
Is the referendum that was defeated by the voters a referendum that was for the repair of the roofs?
That is correct. We actually had a three-part referendum last fall. We designated one of the items to be for technology improvements. That was about $380,000 a year for 5 years. We had one that was deferred maintenance, again, a similar dollar amount for a five-year period. There are a lot of other repairs that we could be talking about, phone system replacements, secondary science lab upgrades, sidewalk playground surfaces. Those were all a part of it, but the roofing project was the primary piece in the referendum. The third was the general operating question.
And Madam
Mr.
Chair,
Newman, and the Representative voters, Newman.
And the voters turned you down.
Madam Chair, yes, the voters turned us down on all three questions.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Representative Dorn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess my question is, because I know it has come up in our district, was part of the discussion in the community that there was money in another fund. I know in our community people don't understand the pots of dollars. They think this is our money. Why can't you use it? Was that discussed that there was money in some account that wasn't usable for another purpose?
Yes.
Okay. Madam Chair, I think that that probably happens in a lot of our communities, that the voters can look and see what's there and say, why can't we use that money? That's that sort of thing is going on. So thank you, Madam Chair.
School funding is not particularly transparent.
No.
All right. Hearing no other questions, thank you very much. I presume you're going to stay there now to talk about the rest of these. Am I correct?
Yes.
All right. We will move on to 3787. And Representative Hosh, I will move 3787 before the committee for possible inclusion in the final bill. And would you like to explain this one, please? You only have three requests here, Mr. Hosh. You are the requester of the day.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And again, I'd like to express my appreciation for taking the time to hear us. This bill meets or tries to address some of the needs of the Recorded School District with them bursting at the seams in our buildings. If you go and take a tour of Recorded, you will see them having classes in the common areas. It is quite sad to see the space crunches that are apparent. And what we would like to ask for is authorization to be able to levy for administrative space outside of the current building that they're currently in. With this is modeled after a request that has been approved previously by the legislator, in which the school district would prove or show evidence that this approach would be more financially responsible than leasing portable classrooms or something of the same sort. And this would allow administration to leave the current buildings and open up that space within their buildings for classroom type of activities. And I'll let the superintendent expand beyond that.
Thank you, Mr. Strasco. Do you wish to add to that?
If I could, Madam Chair. We, as a district, again, we have gone to the voters three times over the last 4 years in regard to building projects, and again have been unsuccessful on all three of those efforts. As Representative Hosh has indicated, our buildings are very full. We have situations where we cannot adequately address classroom needs, and just to give you some specific examples of that, we have two classroom teachers in particular that are not assigned to any one classroom at all during their day. They move every period of the day. We have six others that move for some portion of their day. We do not have, in our opinion, professional judgment, appropriate educational space for our English language learners program, and our special education programs are being conducted in very small spaces that are really not appropriate for them either. We are conducting classes in our auditorium, and as Representative Hosh indicated, we are conducting some of our classes in our common spaces, or our basically our hallway spaces. And our request is to have lease levy authority so that we can move our district office out of the Refori High School building. Currently, we occupy an area of a little bit more than 2,000 square feet. We would move plus some additional areas that are for technology purposes and buildings and grounds purposes. We would move all of those offices out of the high school building and move them into a leasable space. What that would do is allow us to move programs like English language learners and special education into the spaces that we occupy. As they move out of other spaces, that would open up classroom spaces. And so the net effect is that we would gain 2 to 4 classroom spaces by the move of the district office in the recorded schools. We have been looking, and we continue to look at funding options. We are looking at a variety of lease opportunities, and I don't have a specific recommendation on that at this point. We're still exploring the options. The highest cost option that we've looked at is about $78,000 annually. We believe we can do it for a lot less than that. But again, we would be leasing that space for classroom purposes if we can't move the district office.
Representative Piedgriffin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a thought, you know, I know we had that problem in one of the school districts where I was at, and we couldn't get the bond issue passed either, so we started putting up portable classrooms or portable buildings outside of it, and it kind of an eyesore. But believe me, the next time it came up, it did sell. But there is an option of putting up a portable building next. It would be very cheap. You can put the superintendent out there, and it does make an...
planning.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, the sad part about that is they don't care if the superintendent goes out there, but they do care if children go out there.
Mr. Staska, is Recorey a growing district?
Our enrollment has been very stable over the last several years.
Okay. Thank you very much. Representative Meslow.
Mr. Staska, thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Staska, if you move the administrative offices out, I presume there would have to be some renovation work, some kind of construction work that would need to be done to convert those administrative offices to some of the uses that you've described you'd like to do there. Is that right?
Madam Chair, if we actually move our administrative offices the way that they're set up, there's a fairly open area in the middle that's for the office assistants, and then there are several offices on the edges of that. And so if we use them for special education and English language learners programs, we don't believe there's much modification that needs to occur.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Quick question. You said your enrollment has been stable, and earlier you said you're bursting at the seams, and I'm curious about that. If you're not growing, how are you bursting at the seams, and what's happening to change that? That's one question. And the second question, if you would, could you give us a little idea of what's going on in Recorey that these don't pass, and a subjective reasoning. I'm interested really in what's happening and what's the politics up there.
And as quickly as you can, Mr.
Smith. Thank you. In regard to bursting at the seams, our enrollment is growing slightly. It's fairly stable, but it is growing slightly. In regard to the reason for the bursting at the seams is a number of programs like special education, English language learners. At the elementary level, we have boost-up programs that occupy a lot of space. A number of the specialized programs have expanded and have moved into spaces and pushed other programs out. In regard to the second question, I forgot what the question was, sorry. Why the levies are not passing. Thank you.
Representative Jemmer.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I was just wondering why you can't pass the bond referendums.
Mr. Sass.
To the best of our knowledge, the biggest impact is what's happening in the cities in our communities. The cities of Richmond and Rockville in particular have had tremendous, they are growing rapidly, not bringing as many students into the district because on an average household basis we get about 0.7 students. But the internal improvements in those communities has increased their tax rate for the city, and that's, we're the one option that people can say no to, and so people say no.
That's right.
Madam Chair, if I could respond to you.
Very quickly, Representative Hodge.
Superintendent Scott is very correct on that. Just to give an example, one of the bonding requests this year is to address a wastewater treatment plant that's going in Richmond, which is projected to cost each household $6,000 and $120 on utility fees per month. So it's those kind of growing pains or changes that the communities are facing in which they're resistant to this. And it's understandable. So it's...
All right, that was the last question on this bill, and that will be laid over for possible inclusion. Now we will go to 3835, and that is also a bill of Representative Hosh's, and I will move that one before the committee. Do you wish to explain that bill, Representative?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and House File 3835 is a piece of legislation that I really wish that wouldn't have to be in front of this committee today. This legislation is in response to the tragic school shooting that happened in 2003. This is also responding to a federal grant that the school district received in which they were to conduct a study and assessment of the school district and how they can recover from the school shooting incident. This takes some of those recommendations and the results of that study and tries to implement some development plans and recovery plans for the next 2 years. As we know that, as you've seen with the prior two bills, there are some issues when it comes to financial ability with RECORI, and we are requesting here today that the state participate in some appropriations to help RECORI to address the recovery efforts in response to the school shootings in 2003. I'll let Superintendent Stasek to talk about the detailed study and what they plan to do.
Mr. Stasek.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Unlike the other two bills, which are routine business, this one is much more difficult in terms of presentation, and if you allow a little bit of background information, I would appreciate that. On September 24th, 2003, the RECORI School District, including the communities of Rockville, Cold Spring, and Richmond, were changed dramatically. In a matter of a few moments, as quickly and as devastatingly as a tornado or other natural disasters, the actions of one student in shooting and taking the lives of two other students changed the nature, attitude, tone, and environment of an entire institution. On that day, the RECORI School District experienced the first ever student shooting deaths on a school campus in the state of Minnesota. With no other schools or colleagues in the state to guide or share the direct experience, the RECORI School District has demonstrated considerable resilience and fortitude over the last 2.5 years to battle against the psychological and emotional scars of that incident. Unlike a natural disaster, which leaves physical damage, destruction, or evidence of its impact, our school shooting has little observable impact. Like a natural disaster, however, the emotional and psychological cleanup has been a long and difficult path for the district to travel. The RECORI School District may never reach the end of our path. Other schools across the nation, though not at the time of the at that time in Minnesota, other schools have consistently voiced that the effects of a school shooting or serious violent acts linger in a school system for a very long time. The Ricori School District, after pursuing federal Project SERV funds, which have assisted in the recovery to date, is seeking the assistance of the state of Minnesota to continue its efforts to recover, to restore a sense of educational mission and professional confidence, and to rebuild a long, proud history of educational excellence. We are asking the legislature to support a two-year commitment of financial resources to complete a strategic planning process encouraged and directed by the Project SERV resources. The basis of the appeal comes from the study of the district, which was required as part of the Project SERV grant. The grant required an independent assessment of the school district to determine the steps necessary to continue the recovery process. Our study was conducted at the end of calendar year 2005, with the results shared in the district in January and February 2006. Specifically, there are 5 points that I would ask you to remember. The study identifies, first of all, the unique situation affecting the Ricori School District, which makes us, with the exception of Red Lake, unlike any other school district in the state. Second, there are specific recommendations for the initiatives that are supported through the legislation, and we ask you to support the following items. First, the need for continued recovery efforts in the Ricori School. We have accessed all the federal Project SERV grants that we are able to access. Second, specific needs for strategic coordinated planning efforts to move the district forward and to develop a new sense of normalcy. And finally, continued efforts to promote staff development initiatives that have been undertaken with the federal funds.
Mr. Saska, I think we'll probably have to stop there. Are there any questions for Mr. Saska regarding the request for $137,000? Have you figured that's exactly what you need, Superintendent?
Those are based on proposals that we need to complete the studies that we've received a variety of proposals for studies of the district, and they include the quotations that we received, yes.
Representative Plensing.
Well, thank you, Mr. Staska. Were you guys eligible for any money from the Department of Education for the shooting incident?
Quite frankly, the department has no funds set aside that way, but the department worked very closely with us to secure the federal Project SERV funds.
All right. Follow-up, Madam Chair.
Representative Plensing.
How much was that particular monies that you were given, and what were you able to use it for?
Sure. Appreciate the question. There were two levels of Project SERV funds. The first was an immediate $50,000 grant to the district to deal with the immediate crisis situation, extended hours for employees, any of the damages that we needed to clean up. It was immediate response to the tragedy. The second level of grant was an extended grant, an 18-month period, amounting to just short of $300,000. It was about $285,000. And that was intended to provide specific support and resources to the district. We used the grant funds to provide youth supporters, youth development workers, and essentially counseling services to the community, along with initiating several staff development efforts, including a program that we used this year called Restorative Learning, which is intended to restore a sense of confidence in the professionals in our building. Those funds were really intended to be for counseling and recovery initiatives in that regard.
Representative Erickson, last question.
Yes, thank you, Chair Sikora. Do you practice open enrollment? Do you accept students in open enrollment?
Yes, we do.
And one last question, how about PSEO? Do you have very many students who leave to attend St. John's, St. Ben's, or St. Cloud State? Or
we actually have a very extensive concurrent enrollment program within the school district, and so our numbers that participate in PSEO are fairly limited. It's usually 3 to 10 students in any given school year.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. We have to move on, and I appreciate your testimony and
your
being here. And this will be laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
And Representative Moe, would you please come forward? House File 2728. And while they're coming up, I'd like to introduce to you our new GOP education researcher. We have been without one, actually, the whole session. And this is Melody Chalmers. Welcome, Melody. All right, Representative Mohn, please explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for your time and agreeing to hear our bill. For the record, I'm Representative Frank Moe. With me is Superintendent Mike Doro of the Northland Community Schools, which is Reamer, Longville, Outing, also the home of the Mid-Minnesota 150 sled dog race, for your information.
Just a little ad there.
Right. The request is fairly simple. The Northland Community Schools School District has, in the past 6 years, failed in their attempt to pass a bonding levy referendum. It is a district that has over 60% free and reduced lunch. It's an extremely difficult proposition for them to actually pass the referendum, and there are some significant capital improvement needs for the school. Superintendent Doro has brought this to my attention. They're seeking to transfer $196,905 from their disabled accessibility account to the general fund reserve for operating capital to help them meet some of their current and very dramatic capital needs. So I'll turn it over to Superintendent Doro.
Madam Chairperson.
Welcome to the committee.
Northland Community Schools is a very large school district. We're 830 square miles, but we only have 510 students. Our youngest building is 30 years old. Our oldest building is over 60 years old. Since 1999, we have been running operating referendums. We ran six. We lost all six. We're after two things, space and infrastructure. When buildings are 60 years old, we have heating systems, ventilation systems, electrical systems that need replacing. One unique aspect of our school district is that we have 26% of our students in special education. 26, which is twice the state average. We have 15 programs of special education. When our buildings were built, special education either didn't exist or was just coming into its own. The referendums we passed were to both fix the infrastructure but also get a space for those special education rooms. We levied a number of years ago for ADA and completed all of the projects except one, which was an elevator. At our Longville school, which is a split-entry, three-story building, we went out for bids, and the bids came in $50,000 over the amount of money we had. Since then, we've run those referendums, and we are trying, and part of those referendums would either replace the school or move everybody to one site. So we did not use the ADA money. Also, we've completed all of our projects and for accessibility except that elevator. One of the things we unique in our district is all of our buses take high school students and elementary students towards the Reamer campus, which has both a high school and an elementary school. It is completely ADA accessible. If a student that would be attending the Longville school, and they get there by bus transfers, we transfer high school and then send three buses over to Longville. If you're an elementary student and you were not ambulatory, you would attend at the Reamer School, which also has the majority of the special education programs. ADA requires that you have accessibility to programs, not necessarily to buildings. So all of our students do have access to all of the programs offered in the district by their ability to attend school in Reamer if necessary.
All right, we need to keep moving here, but can you just mention why you have 26% special ed? That's rather unusual.
The unique population we serve is basically what we'll tell you. We also have a 23% transient population.
Madam Chair,
Mr. Representative Moe.
The Northland Community School District serves a lot of the Leech Lake Reservation, the south end. So there's issues for that district similar to those in Cass Lake and Red Lake.
Okay. That explains that. Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, Superintendent, according to the numbers we have from the Department of Education, you're carrying about a 41% general fund balance in unreserved funds, fund balance of $2.2 million. As I do a little mental calculation as to what we're talking about probably looking to transfer in what would amount to about 8% of your unreserved fund balance. Now that money could, and according to law, should go to reduce property taxes. So, Superintendent, Representative Moe, I'm not quite sure why the need when you're carrying a 41% fund balance to not reduce property taxes in the district.
The transfers in the capital operating, we're looking at remodeling so that we can properly house our special education students. The rooms are built for full classrooms. It's not a good use of space. In other words, the room is for 25 students. If we have a small special ed class, and we would subdivide that. Our boilers are, in the one building, are 60 years old. They're in need of replacement. The roof leaks. The electrical needs to be upgraded. What we're looking at is transferring money that would have made the buildings more accessible to students to making the buildings, the infrastructure, more up to date. The money would not be transferred to the operating, but to the, I mean, to the capital reserve fund.
Representative Moe.
Madam Chair, Representative Biskins, just briefly and just a reminder, the district has tried to pass a capital levy six times, and it's very difficult given the demographics of that district to pass levies for these needs. I share your concern about property taxes, it's proved very difficult, if virtually impossible, to increase the property taxes in a levy in that district.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate your testimony, and your bill will be laid over, Representative, for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Committee.
We are going now. I inadvertently skipped Representative Erdahl's bill, House File 3942. That's... I will move House File 3942 before the committee. And please move ahead. We are down to 45 minutes, folks, for the rest of this hearing, and we have about half the districts remaining, so we have to really be tight here.
Okay.
Representative Erdahl, I know you can be brief.
I can. Thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate the opportunity to come here today. Eden Valley Watkins Public Schools would like to transfer $50,000 out of the excess debt service fund number 7, which is presently at $153,802, to the general fund for the sole purpose of renovation and remodeling of their school library. I have with me today Nancy Kerr, who is the elementary media specialist at Eden Valley Watkins Schools, and Larry Peterson, the superintendent of the schools of Eden Valley Watkins.
All right. Which of you would like to address us first?
Well, I know you're in a hurry, so I'll try and be as brief as I can.
Right.
We had a building project in 2000 that where we basically spent everything that we could to remodel our facility, and at that time I was the high school principal. I wasn't involved in the superintendency, and once I got into that, I was brought up by my elementary staff that our elementary library was woefully inadequate for what needed to be done, and basically our books are tremendously outdated, as well as it's in an open area. We need some security, and we need some changes there. We are doing some ADA levy, that's going to help do this as well, but we can't use ADA levy for everything that we're going to do. So we'd like to be able to have this, because I'd like to be able to have our kids, as we're spending money, we basically have to replace our circulation in our library, and I'd like to have our second and third graders be able to enjoy it before they leave the elementary, rather than doing it on a basis where we're allotting so much money out of capital outlay to do so. But I think the best person to explain this to you might be my elementary media specialist, Nancy Kerr, who will talk a little bit about our book issue.
Ms. Kerr, welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair, it's a pleasure to be here. I've only been the media specialist in the elementary since last year, and one of the first things I did as a specialist was to have a couple analysis done of our collection. The second and third page of our proposal that was handed out show a page from each of the analyses I had done. The first one was from Mackin, and the second was through Tidal Wave of Follett. The second page with the graph showing the average publication year per cup classification shows our elementary media center in a nutshell. The items that are in black are our current publication of our books. The ones in yellow would be an ultimate up-to-date modern elementary media library. And you can see ours is woefully inadequate. The Follett one, which is page 3, I just picked one page from each of them to make it brief, but you can see our collection by year. Of our over 13,000 books in our media center, two-thirds to three-fourths of them are 20 to 106 years old. And so on behalf of our elementary students, we could really use this money transfer so that we can bring our students into the 21st century to improve their reading scores and also to improve their ability to do research, as we do not have any public library in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Okay, you're home free.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just may quickly add that they are so woefully behind that my books were published in 2001 and they don't even have them.
All right, thank you very much. And
thank you.
Thank you.
We will move on to House File 2909, Representative Seifert. Representative Plensing, would you like to move Representative Seifert's bill, House File 2909?
Certainly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, this is especially for people who have graduated from the Milroy School District, by the way. I just want to put a little plug in for our chair here. Madam Chair, this bill allows what is probably less than a rounding error in any one of our omnibus finance bills. I think it's the smallest fund transfer being requested. It's a little over $25,000 out of the disability accessibility account for the Milroy School District. As you know, I'm particular about these types of things, and so I did have a series of questions in regard to these things. This is a one-story school. There has been a walkthrough by the Department of Education and the State Fire Marshal. There's a concurrence that there's not a need of disability issues for the school to use or access the money. The school has a lot of support from local taxpayers. They have passed referendum, but are short on dollars, as you can see under the description that was done through the Department of Finance. So I have with me Dan Diet and Lon Walling from Milroy. I wanted to make their 6 hours on the road worthwhile today, realizing hopefully not the $25,000 wouldn't all go to mileage today, but we want to make it worth their while for coming up, so I'll turn it over to them.
Mr.
Diet.
Diet.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
We're here asking for this transfer. As you can see from the sheet that was handed to you, we are in statutory operating debt. And we would like to use the one-time money to bring back some of the programming that we haven't been able to keep up with, trying to work on our plan to get out of debt. And we did have our building, as Representative Seifert said, checked and we're told that we have a very sound building, and it does comply. And we feel very good about that building and feel we can use this money in a better way too for the kids.
Just for the record, when I was in high school, that was a brand new elementary. Representative Gemmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm sure it was very nice. I'm sure it was very nice.
It was very nice for its time.
Madam Chair, Superintendent, a question. $26,000 is a small amount, and I'm curious about that. Representative Seifert is right. It is very small. I'm curious about that. My second, you know, so if you could address that. And the second thing is, what are you going to do next year when you don't have this one-time money?
Well, the money that we're asking, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, the money that we're asking to have transferred is actually quite a bit for our district, since we are a very small district and our total revenue is about $900,000 to $1 million. So it's a lot to us, small in the state size, I'm sure. And also, being that when I talk about using the one-time money to help programming, I'm not talking about hiring, that type of thing, but bringing back, you know, some of the things like textbooks and things that we just have not been able to address. We had a very strict plan to get out, and we followed it very closely, but also things fall by the wayside when you have to follow a plan that strict, and we just see this as a better use of the money, being that we have kept our building up very, very well over the years.
Did you wish to comment also, sir?
Yes, Madam Chair. This is a one-time deal. We have a strict SOD plan, which we're abiding by, but we got caught with fuel prices this year that we didn't expect as high as they could. And our SOD plan will be fine after this year. So this will get us over the hump to keep our SOD plan in place as we presented it to the state. So this is just the one-time deal to get us past our SOD. So this should take care of it.
Madam Chair, I was assured by board members that I've talked to and Mr. Diet that there's no planning for hiring of FTEs or ongoing money. It's mainly for things that, like textbooks and things of a one-time nature that they just haven't been able to do. And they are on a glide path toward getting out of SOD, I believe, after next year. They're in the clear, so I feel good about that.
All right. Are there further questions? Representative Kinsey.
Thank you. I was wondering, since you're potentially coming out of statutory operating debt soon, is the building old enough that you might be considering building again soon, or building a new building, or adding on to a current building where you might need disabled access?
Mr. Diaz.
Madam Chair, thank you for the question. Our school district is very small. We probably will not be adding on or building a new building in the future. We need to take care of the building we have. And back a year ago, we did pass a capital facilities levy of $86,000, and we've been using that money to help with the building and make sure that we're compliant with all the ADA stuff, too. So we have a lot of support, but I do not see us adding on or building any new buildings.
All right, hearing no other questions, thank you, gentlemen, very much for making the trip. And we will go forward with Representative Newman's bill, House File 3023. And you may go ahead and move your bill, Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Scott Newman. I would at this time move this bill for before the committee for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr. Newman. Please explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a fund transfer bill, two different parts. One, to move money from the operating account, and second, to move money from the severance account into the general fund. I will tell the committee that this school district is in SOD. I will also tell you that I have with me the superintendent from Lester Prairie, who will explain the minutia of the bill if you wish. But I will tell you that this is a problem that Superintendent Miller inherited when he came into the post.
about a year ago and found himself in SOD. This is something that, that frankly, fund transfers do trouble me. And on behalf of my district in Lester Perry, I would simply say that what I'm looking for is consistent treatment to an applied criteria for that will be applied to all of these types of things statewide. With that, I will tell you that Superintendent Miller has assured me there is adequate funds that will remain in the severance account, and he can give you the exact figures, and that he feels the capital operating account will remain financially stable. So with that, I will turn it over to the superintendent, and he can explain in a little bit more detail. And please, Superintendent, be mindful of the time in terms of the room.
Mr. Miller, welcome.
Thank you for allowing me to, Madam Chair, for allowing me to come and talk today. I guess President Newman did about as much as I could do is explain it. If there's questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them, but I just want the committee to be very well aware that we work very hard to make sure that the resources that we maintain in those reserved accounts are going to be adequate for funding our insurance and our capital outlay into the future. So I'd be more than happy to take any questions.
I think there was Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Superintendent, I asked this question about everybody that comes up, so if you're listening, you'll hear it again. These are one-time dollars going into a general fund for ongoing expenditures. What are you going to do next year?
Mr. Miller.
Thank you. We're not reducing the fund entirely. We believe that the reserve that we will have will be adequate to fund our needs into the future. I wish I could say how long into the future. I've met with our auditing firm, and they've told me that we should be able to cover our expenses into the future.
All right. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Chair Sikora. Just a note, former Representative Tony Kilkutsky was here yesterday lobbying Representative Fiskins and me to support this.
Representative Maslow.
Superintendent Miller. Thank you, Madam Chair. Superintendent Miller, I just want to be clear because it was a little fuzzy on whether you can really afford to take this money out of what you've set aside for severance. I want to make sure that 5 years from now you wouldn't be back here saying, you know what, we're in trouble because we don't have enough money to pay our to pay the severance because that account was depleted. How can you give me some comfort on that?
Well, one of the things that we did a number of years ago was to put a lot of our severance being offset by 403B contributions. And within the next 5 years or so, we will have almost, I think there's one person that will be still carrying a little bit of severance. We also got in our last contract negotiations a reduction in long-term insurance benefits to our retiring employees. So with that contract that we've just settled, I believe we've really secured that beyond 5 years that we should be fine. Now, again, I can't at this point tell you what insurance costs are going to do and those types of things, but I know we'll be increasing our deductible for our insurance as of July 1st. In fact, Friday we get to find out what our costs for next year are going to be, and I believe our group will also be looking at going to an even higher deductible in order to keep those costs lower. So I think our staff also looks at that as our long-term commitment. We've reduced those too, so I believe it will be sufficient.
Representative
follow-up? Superintendent Miller, have you discussed this plan with your auditors? Have your auditors expressed an opinion as to whether that's a reasonable step to take?
Mr. Miller.
Yes. In fact, before I even contacted President Newman, that was one of my first things to see that they were on board with this also. We did a number of years ago actually ask to increase it by a little bit because we were concerned that we wouldn't get the reductions from our certified staff. But I believe we have enough money to take care of the problem.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I see no other questions. Thank you. Your bill will be laid over for possible inclusion, Representative Newman.
Thank you,
and
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Miller, for being here.
Thank you very much.
All right, we are on to House File 3296. which is Representative Greiling's bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move House File 3296 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
All right. Go ahead, Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I have with me Superintendent John Pine from Roseville Schools. And some of you old-timers will remember we had this bill around once before. Our district is in statutory operating debt, and as Representative Abrams said so well, what we ask is to be treated like any other district in similar circumstances. And I will let Superintendent Pine go through why we are in statutory operating debt and what we are our plan for doing something about that, which would include this bill.
Superintendent Tyne.
Madam Chair, members of the committee. We've all heard about the perfect storm, and Roseville was fortunate enough to experience it only a number of years ago. I think some of you are very familiar with Roseville Shopping Center, and at one time there was a challenge to the valuation of Roseville Shopping Center, which caused a $3 million shortfall in the levy that we, or cash flow that we've received. Another thing that some of you may be familiar with, the Internal Revenue Service, they stopped by for a visit and they wanted to talk about our severance plans. And our severance plans were set up to pay over a three-year period. That was a problem with constructive receipt. We were required to pay our severance two and a half years worth in one year because of the change. We suffered from prosperity. At one time, we had so much money in our fund balance that the state of Minnesota stopped by and said, your fund balance is too high. We'd like to take about $2.5 million out of your fund balance. When you added all of these up, it put us in a position where we were faced with a deficit. We've continued to climb out of that deficit gradually over a period of time. But one of the things our school board really insisted on and held my feet to the fire on is that we wanted to make sure that our students and our community did not suffer because of a change in tax law, the internal revenues decision, and also the situation where we found ourselves with too much of a fund balance. So we've continued to climb out. We'll continue to climb out. All we're asking for is that we receive and are considered in this and painted with the same brush as other school districts. We do have a surplus in the debt service. And in fact, just so the committee's aware of, we have under-levied over $4 million under our promise to our taxpayers during that during the time of this bond issue and debt service levy. So although our request is small, it would mean a lot. You have to remember that when the money was taken back from our excess fund balance, the majority of the funding that was provided for that excess was because of the generosity of our taxpayers. When the money was withheld, it was withheld, unless I'm mistaken, and I'm sure somebody would point that out, from state aid. So this would be more of a symbolic thing to our taxpayers in allowing them to get back funding that was generated for the purpose of educating children in our district. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Are there any questions for Mr. Tyne or Representative Greiling? Representative Bernardi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Greiling and Dr. Tyne, I believe it's Dr. Welcome. I wanted to just ask you, I don't have the numbers right, I'm trying to look for your school district here. You would be out of statutory operating debt if you did had that didn't have that $2.5 million taken away?
Oh, yes. Madam Chair, yes.
And then, Madam Chair, my other question that I wanted to ask, the state no longer has this policy. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, yes.
Superintendent Tyne, how long ago was this?
It was just before I was lucky enough to be selected for this position. That would be in 1998. Our revenue, our fund balance was withheld just before that. So I'd say it was in the late 90s. We also are exploring the, Madam Chair, we are also exploring the possibility of a referendum And our community has been absolutely very, very supportive. We are blessed to live in the community that we do. They have never failed a referendum in our district, and I don't assume they will. Again, this is a very symbolic issue. This is not going to pull us out, but it will send a very positive message to our taxpayers and to our community, I believe.
All right, Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Superintendent, the $1.5 million to go into your general fund is one-time money going in for ongoing expenditures and revenues. How does that fit in with your plan for next year when you won't have those one-time dollars coming in? Can you replace those, or will you consider that to be a shortfall to your district?
Madam Chair, Representative?
Mr. Tine.
This amount will be much less than that. We probably estimate it will be about $100,000 that the transfer would be. And with the 5% excess that we have in debt service, and we are very fortunate in that our taxpayers, for the most part, always pay their bills, we'll continue to have an excess in that fund, which will lower taxes consistently over a period of years.
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, Representative Greiling, Representative Heidgerken tries to keep us sensitive, and I appreciate that when he looks at the equity between rural school districts and metro school districts. Representative Greiling, have you done any analysis of approved fund transfers that the legislature has done in comparison rural-metro, and if you have, could you share that with the committee?
Representative Grady.
Madam Chair, members, thank you for that question, Representative Biskin. Before Representative Heidgerken and others, and you will remember that a couple days ago, I did vote with, I should have my superintendent close his ears here, but I did vote with my rural colleagues on fairness for Head Start, which benefited the rural areas and not the metro area because of the statewide Head Start people saying that was a fair formula. But when I before I did that, I made reference to the fact that often metro people don't come out so well here at the legislature because of the rural power that exceeds, you know, the numbers at the current present time. And these fund transfers I did analyze, and I noticed that except for White Bear Lake when Representative Mayers was the chair, and West Tonka, and there was one more that was kind of exurban, St. Francis. The others are all rural. And so, you know, that's why Representative Abrams and I did have that parking lot discussion where we thought, you know, we're in statutory operating debt, and, you know, we're not trying to jump ahead of rural districts, but we would like to be treated just the same when we're in the same circumstances. We just asked for equity. So I thank you, Representative Biskin. And I was on the school board, Madam Chair and members, when we hired this wonderful superintendent who was our business manager, and we hired him for his many talents, but also to get us out of our financial pickle, excuse me, because of what the state had done to us.
Representative Demmer, last question.
Very, very quick, Madam Chair. You know, you mentioned about this. I remember I was on a school board at that time, and we were very aware in our school board that the state had this level, and if we were above that level, we'd lose these funds. Were you not aware of that? And if you were aware of it, why did you let that happen?
Mr. Tine.
Madam Chair, absolutely, we were very well aware of it, and that's part of the problem. We were attempting to spend down the amount, and at that time we had an influx of open enrollment students, which really increased our revenue more than we anticipated. So we ended up with a situation where embedded expenditures and revenue more than we thought. And once that one-time expenditure comes out, I don't think there are many districts in the state that could stand a $2.8 million withdrawal from their general fund. That's probably unexpected. So it was not intentional by our part. And if that was the case today, we would be in very good stead. Also, special education costs, and I don't like to pick on that, but we provide excellent special ed services. And because we, I think, are excellent at it, we tend to draw families who, like some districts, have great hockey programs, which we do, or great basketball teams, which we're working on. But we have a great special ed program, and a number of families in this area really come to our district for that service, and sometimes you have to pay a price for that excellence. But it's a good question. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. And the bill will be laid over for possible inclusion. And members, let me call your attention to this piece of paper with the chart on it. That indicates of the districts that have received fund transfers where they are from and which districts have been here several times. You may wish to look at that. All right, moving along. Representative Ethan, House File 3701. And again, I would ask you to please be as quickly, please get through this as quickly as you can. We are running short on time.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'd like to move House File 3701 for possible inclusion, be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
All right, Representative Ethan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a request for a fund transfer from the to be transferred up to $80,000 from the Reserve for Disability Accessibility account to its unrestricted general fund account for the Boston School District. And I have with me today the superintendent of Boston School, Dale Solberg, who's going to talk to about the specifics of the bill. But this money is it's coming out of the disabled accessibility account because the needs and requirements for access for the disabled have been met in this area, and there is a great need in the elementary school to keep class sizes smaller and to avoid cuts, and that's what this money would be used for. So with that, I'd like to introduce Dale Solberg, superintendent.
Superintendent, welcome to the committee. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I'll keep this brief. We remodeled both our elementary school and our high school in 1999. We've conducted assessment ability report survey, and we found no errors. Everything has met that statute. We would like to use this money for this next school year. We're anticipating a first grade class of 54. We currently have two sections. We want to go to three sections, so I'll use part of that money for that. To answer a question, we have just passed this fall a $500,000 referendum. We will have money coming in next year. We're deficit spending this year, and this will help us not reduce that program, and we will use about half of that, and the following year we'll use the other half to maintain that class size, and that's why we're here.
All right. Are there any questions? All right. Are there any other questions? Looks good, Representative Egan.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
We'll just move this along and lay it over for possible inclusion. Thank you very much. Representative Dorman. I don't know. Have I seen Representative Dorman?
No.
Okay, let's wait a few minutes for him. Let's move to Representative Hilty. I believe he is here. And Representative Hilty, I would move House File 3832 before the committee to be considered for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Would you explain your bill, please, Representative?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The bill is a very simple one. It merely asks, should the referendum in the Willow River School District that's going to be before the voters in September of this year be successful, that the district could recognize up to 50% of the operating referendum levy in the year in which it's certified. I have with me the superintendent of the Willow River Schools, Mr. Steve Wymore, who can explain to the committee the situation in which the district finds itself.
Welcome, Superintendent Wymore.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. The district was notified in October of 2004 that it was in statutory operating debt with a general fund balance of a negative $246,000. Previous to the notification, the district had eliminated an administrator position, combined two fourth grade sections into one class, and later reduced one position in the alternative learning program. In addition, the district went to the voters in December of 2004 asking for a 10-year, $300,000 operating levy authority, which was defeated. For fiscal year 06, the district made $200,000 of budgetary reductions to comply with the district's state-approved statutory operating debt plan. This meant reductions in elementary instructional staff, high school staff, maintenance staff, food service staff, and administrative services. Thanks to the staff who organized 13 site-based management committees to assume administrative duties, an additional $98,000 of actual expenses were saved this year. And the staff is committed to continuing site-based management for fiscal year 07. For fiscal year 07, the district recently approved reductions in the amount of $130,000, eliminating elementary instructional staff, ALP instructional staff, and reductions to our health services. In January of 2006, the school board experienced a major change in membership. Five newly elected and appointed members were sworn into service for the Willow River School Board. This governing body has carefully studied the financial condition of the district and recently moved a resolution calling for a referendum election on September 12, 2006. This is for $500,000 per year for the next 10 years. We are here today to ask the House Education Finance Committee to recommend the approval of House File 3832, which would allow the Willow River School District to recognize up to 50% of the newly approved operating levy authority in fiscal year 07. This will bring the district out of statutory operating debt by the end of the school year, eliminate the need to make additional reductions, allow us to more quickly build the district undesignated unreserved fund balance to a positive 9% level, which would bring us into compliance with the resolution of the school district, and begin enhancing the programs that have suffered as a result of continued reductions. It would also send a message that the state of Minnesota is willing to help the district continue to provide quality educational programs for our children. Thank you.
Thank you. And did you say $5,000 referendum?
$500,000.
$500,000. Okay. That's more like it. I thought $5,000. Okay. And did you wish to make comments also, sir?
No, Madam Chair. I'm here to help the superintendent with any financial questions that may come up.
All right. Representative Meslow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Superintendent Wymore, it's kind of a two-part question. If we approve this, does this mean that next year's budget will be set assuming that your referendum is going to pass? And if so, what's your contingency plan if it doesn't pass?
Representative Meslow, was that question answered?
No.
Are you waiting for me to call on you? Go ahead, Superintendent. I'm sorry, I was distracted.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The budget that we have in place for the fiscal year 07 does not include the referendum operating levy authority. It would require a revision of the fiscal year 07 budget should the referendum pass.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Wymore? Hearing none, thank you very much. I think it's a fairly easy concept to understand, so thank you for being here.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
All right.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Dorman, House File 3702.
Madam Chair, do you want me to move that?
Yes, please move the bill,
Representative. I'll move 3702 to be before the committee for possible inclusion in the fund transfer section of the funding bill.
All right, Representative Dorman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Member Sword, for being tardy. I hope I don't have detention later because of it.
Well, you know, we're thinking of making you stand with your nose in a circle for a while. This is the Education Committee, after all.
That's right. I've got to my left Mr. Joe Quinella, who's the superintendent at the Alden Public Schools, which is in Fremont County. It's about 10 miles west of Albert Lea. Alden is a very compact, it's a smaller district, but very compact, and the people of Alden have really done a good job of preserving their schools, investing in it, take a lot of pride in it, and I think one way to measure how good a job they're doing is to look at open enrollment. They have a lot of kids from the surrounding area that open enroll into Alden because of the programs and things that they're able to do there. They do have a little bit of a problem that they're here before the committee with, dealing with a fund transfer. They went to a building project, a remodeling project, a little bit of an expansion project, and when you could levy for health and safety dollars, they pre-spent the money in the general fund but didn't create an accounts receivable line for it, and therefore now they've got those funds sitting in health and safety because they've levied for them, but there's that hole in the general fund. And Mr. Guanella can do a better job of explaining that than I can, and I'll turn it over to him.
Mr. Guanella.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, it's a the bulk of the money is an accounting error. When we passed the bond issue in 97-98 with an 83% yes vote, part of the program was to do some remodeling and address disabled access. We levied $138,899.60, and we actually spent $126,817.04. But there was never an account set up to collect that money in a two-year time span when it actually came in. And so that money then just has been sitting there since that time. And we discovered it this year when we were changing auditors because of mistakes they made, and we found two mistakes, one on the negative side and one on the plus side, and the plus one better than the negative one. So we're looking good on that step. The total amount that's in our disabled access right now is $163,279. The remaining money from that $126 is simply errors in putting in a budget number and then the actual dollars being spent to put on door handles and ramps and remodeling park gestures and that stuff. Our local folks usually work much cheaper than what the budget numbers will come in from the supposed experts, so we end up with additional dollars sitting there.
So you don't need any more work done for disabled accessibility issues?
No. Our 57 building is up to speed and the other building is brand new, so we should be done.
Questions from members? Hearing none, I guess we understand your issue, and thank you very much for making the trip up here.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Representative Dorman.
Thank you.
Representative Cox. 3881. I will move House File 3881 before the committee, and it will be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I did send down to your committee a letter from the Belle Plaine Schools. Do you have that? Okay, thank you. I see some heads nodding. Dr. Smith is not able to come here today, but this is a fairly simple one, and I hope you'll agree it's an important one. The legislation allows $125,000 to transfer. You've dealt with some lot larger numbers than that today, but this is very important to the Belle Plaine Schools. They solicited and received approval for a health and safety levy work and sold bonds on it, and it was mainly dealing with asbestos and then a fuel tank removal for their, one of their projects here. They used the estimates from the engineers to set their bond amount, and they had a pretty favorable bidding climate, as you'll see if you look through his letter there, and they ended up with this $125,000 excess. However, as they started construction, they passed a levy to construct a new school and do a significant amount of remodeling of the old school. They've discovered some other work that has to be done, and it's mainly related to fire sprinklers and alarm system work. They asked the Department of Education if they could use the health and safety excess levy funds for this health and safety work, and Mr. Grismont from the Department of Education sent him a letter that he really didn't think it was considered related to the project, and so that they would simply have to turn these funds back to the taxpayers, then re-levy second year out for the work that they needed to be done. So they asked me if we could ask the committee to allow this transfer, since it's health and safety related work, and skip all the intervening things and take advantage of some economical work that they have because of the work that's going on right now, and not create a second separate project and have to bid it out and so forth. So I would ask that you would consider including this in your bill. Like I said, it's not a huge amount, but it's very important to the Belle Plaine School. I take questions.
All right. Any questions for Representative Cox? And you didn't have anybody else who wished to testify on your bill, Representative?
No, I did not. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. If there are no questions from members of the committee, we will lay it over for possible inclusion, Representative, and we will move on to...
Thank you.
...our last bill of the day, Representative Westrom. And that's House File 3361. And Mr. Newman, Representative Newman, would you like to move that bill, please?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I would move 3361 before the committee for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you, Representative Newman. Representative Westrom, would you like to explain this bill for Chicago, Alberta, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Newman. This is a bill requesting an exemption to the referendum caps for the Chicago, Alberta school district related to sparsity aid and their ability to levy or pass a referendum for more money if they fall into the sparsity aid category. The situation is they have two schools. They currently try to use the best part of both of those schools, and by using the Alberta side for most of the high school, or they had used it for most of the high school, they were not technically eligible for the extra referendum that they had passed, and a little bit of sparsity aid. The issue isn't the sparsity aid that they get from the state. That's a much smaller amount than the referendum they passed. They have worked it out with the department, and they have transferred the majority of their classes to the Chicago school building by renovating and opening up some areas that hadn't been used for a while. And so the urgency of this bill has been diminished. However, passing of this bill would allow them a little more flexibility in their structure of whether they still keep some practical classes at the Alberta site or not. And it also, Madam Chair, probably raises a bigger discussion that certainly I don't think would be settled this year, but maybe tease up the issue for next year and other larger policy discussions, and that is sparsity aid. And in this case, does it make sense for Alberta and Chicago, Alberta, to have to spend a lot of extra money to merge everything into the Chicago site in order to be eligible for the sparsity aid, or not, and survive as a small school? And that's just a larger policy question that I don't intend to solve here. This would give a local fix to the problem. People from the school board and the school administration would have come down if I had requested it. I didn't request it in the interest of time, as well as the fix. The immediate concern was worked out with the Department of Education, and I bring this forward to try to give them a little more options in their planning and operations for next year and the years after that. And so that's it, Madam Chair. I know Mr. Strom has worked with me on this. If there's questions that I...
Hey, did I understand you to say that you have passed more levy authority, your voters have passed a larger referendum,
right,
than you are allowed to use?
Say that again. They have passed a additional referendum a year ago, and this fall realized that with Alberta teaching or hosting as many classrooms as they had, and discussing it with the department, they had said this makeup of your school system won't qualify you for the additional referendum dollars that were passed. They immediately moved, or soon thereafter, brought in more portable classrooms and cleaned out a few more janitor's closets to get enough classes transferred over to, as I understand, meet the threshold of the percentage of classes that need to be in the Chicago location, and are intending to close down the Alberta school. There's parts of the Alberta school that are in much better shape than the Chicago school, but for our policy.
It's a policy that we have in Minnesota that would cause you to use the school that is in not as good a shape?
That would be correct, Madam Chair. And that's the larger policy question that we probably, I don't recommend that your committee solves in the next 5 minutes, but it is, point out, you know, the illogical things that grow out of our policies from time to time as school numbers change and a school is trying to make the best prudent decisions.
I think for the benefit of the committee and other people here, I'll just ask Mr. Strom to explain how we got to this or why we're in this situation now, why you are in this situation now, I guess.
Madam Chair, members, the fiscal note in front of you, I think, does a fairly good job of laying this out. But essentially what happens under sparsity revenue is we measure both the miles to the next nearest school district and the square mile area of the district itself. And so a district sparsity revenue can change both depending on its decisions, as in the case of the Chocayo Alberta district, where if it were to use the Chocayo building, it's a different number of miles to the next nearest building than if they use the Alberta school building. And so both internal to the district, their decisions matter, but also, as Representative Westrom was saying, the Clinton-Graceville-Beardsley School District is affected by this as well, because their next nearest building will change depending on whether or not Chocayo uses the Alberta or the Chocayo building for the secondary facility. And so essentially what the bill does is it says regardless of where the school district has its secondary facility, they'll qualify for the exception to the referendum cap. And that's the key issue for the Chocayo Alberta School District is the amount of referendum revenue authority, not the sparsity revenue.
All right. So all you really are looking for here is an exemption from the referendum cap.
Right.
In this case. All right. Are there other questions? I think this just indicates how some of our formulas that we design kind of mess things up occasionally. I certainly don't want a district choosing to use its oldest, ugliest building in lieu of a better one because of an issue of sparsity aid or referendum allowance. So we will have to discuss this here. Are there any further questions? Representative Bernardi.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'll just be brief. We were doing a little analysis looking at this sheet here, and I've been wanting to see this sheet for a while. But looking at the fund balances, the calculations that show up at FY05, just wanted to make comment to the committee members. It's kind of interesting to me. 138 school districts have, if I total them up correctly, and maybe it's 140 actually, 140 have fund balances of 15% or higher, and two of those are the metro, and 138 are in greater Minnesota. So that was quite interesting.
I have noticed that also. Mm-hmm. Are there any other further comments or questions? Representative
Biskin. Madam Chair, thank you. And I don't think it should go without saying my dear friend to my right here said it's because they're better money managers, I guess.
Amen, Representative Biskin.
All right, on that friendly note, if there's nothing else, I believe we will just lay your bill over, there being no further questions, but we will, members, quick look at the minutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Madam Chair, I move approval of minutes.
These are the minutes from Wednesday, March 22nd. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. All right. Then we have minutes from Thursday, March 23rd, which I'm sure you have read in great detail.
So
Representative Dorn. All right. Are there any exceptions to this, any corrections or additions? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes have been approved. And we have minutes for Tuesday, March 28th, which we probably remember those. That was yesterday. And are there any additions or corrections to those minutes? All right, those minutes having been moved by Representative Newman. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are adopted. Thank you very much, members, for your patience. I can't believe we made it through this long agenda. Thank you.